Let us open the Holy Scriptures to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 and read the verses 28 through 36. Our text will focus on verse 35 and 36, the first part, together with the Heidelberg Catechism, which we shall read after the Scripture reading, Lord's Day 6, questions and answers 16 through 19. But first we shall hear the word of God. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. The word of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make thee three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And then verse 35, as our text, together with the first part of 36, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Let us turn to Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question 16. Why must he, that is then the mediator and the deliverer, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. And one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17. Why must he in one person be also very God? That he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Question 18. Who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19. Whence knowest thou this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise, and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Amen. Beloved congregation, our theme for this morning will be Jesus alone. First of all, meets the four standards, as you will see in questions and answers 16 and 17, unlocks four treasures and is found in four places. So Jesus alone meets the four standards, unlocks four treasures, and is found in four places. Have you already found the mediator, beloved congregation, whom we have been searching for? Remember last time we ended by speaking about four requirements for the mediator: very man, so true man, perfectly righteous, more powerful than any creatures or all creatures. And fourthly, he has to be true God. Have you already found this mediator? You know, when we, or perhaps you, when you are looking to fill a position in your company, you also have certain standards. And you say, I have four standards the person whom I will hire must meet. And you go through this hiring process, and none of them meets the four. And you found one who meets three of the requirements for this position. What do you do? Maybe you'll say, well, this is the best we can find for now. You'll just have to drop that fourth requirement. Or we'll just have to have him concentrate first on that fourth requirement so that he really will fit the bill. But when it comes to these four requirements for the only mediator between God and man, for you and me to be saved, that's a different thing. There are billions who fit the first requirement, that they have to be true men. But for the rest, among the billions of people, there is nobody who fulfills the other three requirements. There is no one among men who is perfectly righteous, and no one who is more powerful than all creatures. And there is no one who is true God who could fit this standard. Because remember, that's what in the previous Lord's Day 5 we ended with. The last question, what then? What sort of a mediator and deliverer must we seek for? And the answer was, one who is very, very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one who is also very God. Can we lower these standards? Can we say, well, does he really have to be truly man and perfectly righteous? What if an angel could be made a mediator, a deliverer? I mean, an angel who is still in his original righteousness, the way God created the angels. Like, could Gabriel not be our mediator, our deliverer, or Michael, the archangel? And the Bible says, what does the Bible say? No. No. Where does the Bible say that? Well, you could take, for instance, the Apostle Paul writing in his letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 15. And then this is what the Bible says. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So also the gift of grace must be by one man. Cannot be an angel. Cannot be an archangel. Has to be one man. And the Heidelberg Catechism spells it out in the words that we read. The justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin. Okay, you say, but what about just a good man? A very good man. Because I agree, there is no such righteous man. But what if we take a very good as they come? How about Job? Did Job not have, no, he did not have a spotless righteousness, but don't we read of him that he was a blameless man? Could Job not do? No. No. We know of two persons in the Bible who offer themselves in a burst of love for their people, who offer themselves to God and said, "Oh Lord God, please let me pay for all the others." Remember, the one was Moses. In chapter 32 of Exodus, verse 32, when Moses said to God, "Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written, if only thou wilt forgive this thy people." And Paul, the apostle, was the other who, in a burst of love, wrote Romans chapter 9, verse 3, these words, "I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, if only they might be saved." These were moments in the lives of Moses and Paul in which they felt something of an unmeasured love for their people. But they could not accomplish what they proposed to God or requested of God. Imagine that God had said to Moses, "All right, Moses, you go. You pay. You make satisfaction." Moses could only have made satisfaction for himself, but he could never have ended the making of satisfaction, because God's punishment is an everlasting punishment, a never-ending punishment. Because the wrath of God is an eternal wrath against sin, a never-ending wrath. So that burst of love on the part of Moses and Paul for their people, in a way, can have our respect, but in that way they cannot obtain salvation, not even for themselves, let alone for their people. Well, then let's go from question and answer 16 to question and answer 17. Why must he in one person be also very God, true God, that he might by the power of his Godhead, so that he by being God, by the power of his being God, might sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life? You see, it takes an other, a greater mediator than just a man who could bear the penalty of another man's sin. It would take a mediator of whom it could be said that he himself knew no sin, had no sin. A mediator who also is very God. That he might, the Catechism says, by his power, the power of his being God, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and obtain for us and restore to us righteousness and life. And congregation, and that's our second sub-thought under our first point, is we must find this mediator. We can't say, "Well, if we can't find him, we can't find him." We must find him. And let's take a close look for a moment at that little word, "must," and dwell on it. Has the "must" for this kind of a mediator ever become a must to you? A divine necessity, deep in your soul? That's a very important point. This "must" will take your mind back all the way to eternity past, to the Council of Peace. And Christ spoke about it on the road to Emmaus, to those two persons with whom he was walking, remember? Then he said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered?" And the "ought" there is the same word, "must not Christ to have suffered these things, and thus enter into his glory?" You see, that was a divine "must" closely bound up with the way of salvation. But you see, it must also come to that point in your and in my life that we don't settle for anything less than this must. Just think, children, for a moment of a man whose name you will know. And he sought to seek Jesus. That was not in Luke chapter 9 that we read this morning, but in Luke chapter 19. A man of a short stature, remember Zacchaeus. He sought to seek Jesus, but it says in Luke 19 he could not, for he was little of stature. There was a big crowd of people and he couldn't get through there, so that by the time Jesus would be coming back, he would be able to see Jesus. And he sought to seek to see him. Remember what he did? He climbed up into that sycamore tree to see him. What was that? He felt a need for a mediator for his own soul. And when others stood in the way, he climbed up into that sycamore tree so that he would not miss to see this mediator. And what happened then? He found that as he could see him just coming by, he stopped. And he looked up to him and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must abide in thy house. You see, Zacchaeus' must, he sought to seek him, has to give way to Jesus' must. Now this must is something that our parents used to talk about a great deal. I don't know if we still talk about it a great deal. Our parents, and when the elders would come for family visitation, and the elders would try to look for a moment, that this would be what they could talk about with the family members. And then talk about it for quite a while. And these elders, and these our parents, or should I say grandparents, they used to put it like this. They used to say, the Lord Jesus Christ has to be revealed to your soul. Sometimes that was perhaps talked about in a way that was not so biblical, but the question was very, or the statement was very biblical as such. And the question I put to you this morning from the scriptures is, where are you in your seeking, your search for, your quest for this mediator? And there are three possible answers, and your answer will be one of those three answers. Either you say in response to the question, where are you in your quest for a mediator? Either you say, I'm not looking for him at all. I'm content without one. I don't see the urgency of the matter. Or maybe you think you already have him. But you're not looking for him. Never were looking for him either. That's one possible answer. Or another possible answer is that you are seeking for him. That you are looking at times. But not at other times. You are looking, but it has not become an all-consuming thing in your life. You are not looking the way the person in the Heidelberg Catechism is looking for this mediator. What sort of a mediator and deliverer must I seek for? You have not run up yet to the requirements and the standards that God has said in His Word that you must have a mediator. And that mediator must fulfill all the requirements of God. And otherwise, you must be prepared to face the wrath of God yourself and to face it forever. Forever. Forever in hell. And then when you say, I sometimes do seek him, but not the way you must seek him. Then you are not yet in the right place in this regard. Then you are not, and that's the third answer, you are not like Zacchaeus, who was seeking for a mediator at all costs and overcoming all obstacles. Because you and I must have this mediator no matter what. And you must have him as God requires him in your life. And in no other way. That's the only way to seek this mediator. And then you will find, and we go on to question and answer 18 of the Heidelberg Catechism, that this one and only mediator unlocks four treasures. Unlocks four treasures. And now let's go to Luke chapter 9 that we read this morning. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. Can you think of what a precious and what a glorious moment that must have been for these three disciples when they found themselves there on top of the mountain together with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus? Who were they? Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Who were they? They were or are the three great mediators in the Bible. Moses, remember, mediated on Mount Sinai or Horeb for Israel. There he met with God. And Elijah, he mediated on Mount Carmel for Israel all alone. And both Moses and Elijah were impressive men. And the disciples, they must have been in overwhelming awe as they saw Moses and Elijah speaking to Jesus about his decease from Jerusalem, his exodus from Jerusalem to Golgotha. And Peter, when he woke up and could speak, then he said to the Lord, "Lord, let us build a tabernacle for each of you three." And then there came a voice out of heaven, the voice of God the Father, who said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when that voice was passed, they saw no one but Jesus alone. That's the picture, isn't it? And when God to your heart, it's like this, that perhaps you were looking for him for years, seeking, knocking, asking. Perhaps for years, I say, maybe not for years. It can also be that you were just seeking for a short time. And it may even be that you say, "You know something, I never even was looking for him. But he came to me." And that's what we read in Isaiah chapter 65 verse 1. "I am sought of them that ask not for me." And that too is possible, you see. But no matter how and where the Lord leads, it always remains a great and an impressive and a divine wonder when Christ is revealed to you, to your soul, as the only mediator and deliverer whom you need. You must have him. And then he is revealed to you in the beauty that answer 18 spells out when it says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Those are the four treasures that this one and only mediator opens up to you. Then you see, first of all, wisdom, made of God unto us wisdom. No one is as wise as Jesus is. Moses had wisdom, Elijah had wisdom, but this mediator, Jesus, is the wisdom of God itself. He made the worlds. The worlds were made by him, remember? Jesus, this mediator, he knows the mind of the Father and declares wisdom to foolish sinners, ignorant sinners. And what does he give them? He gives them wisdom. The wisdom of God. Because the Father makes him, this mediator, their wisdom. And then they see themselves as fools. And they see Jesus. And they see the wisdom of God in him. They learn to see their need of this wisdom. And they come to love him. And they learn wisdom in his school. What a treasure of wisdom there are in this mediator. O congregation, in this school, we have so much to learn about him. And we have so much to unlearn about ourselves and our own thoughts. But there's so much to be learned from him. And he makes you to see yourself as a fool before God. Indeed. Because that's what we have become by nature, by our sin. Fools. We grow up in church and we begin to talk about the things of God and we know how someone else should be converted unto God. But when Christ is revealed to you and you learn to seek for this mediator, then that all changes. Then Christ alone becomes your wisdom. He must teach you again and again. And every lesson he teaches you is a new lesson. It seems so fresh again. Made of God unto us wisdom. That's the first treasure. And the second treasure is righteousness. God makes him our righteousness. He is of whom we love to sing, Jehovah Jidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, for us unrighteous sinners. And God imputes his eternal and blood-bought righteousness to them. And then God looks at them in this mediator and he sees no iniquity in Jacob. And they learn that Zion is redeemed through judgment and her converts through righteousness. His righteousness. Christ's righteousness. You see, God opens the treasure house of righteousness in this mediator, Jesus Christ. Is there someone here this morning who sees his sin and guilt before God? And he experiences his sin and guilt perhaps so intensely he doesn't dare speak about it to someone else. But he speaks to God and he says, "Oh God, thou knowest my sinful and my guilty life. And I don't know where else to turn but to thee." And what happens? That Christ is made unto him righteousness. Or someone else says, "But I've come to see that. But still I find in myself so much corruption. That sinful fountain of all the evil doing. That evil heart of mine that always and again is such that from it flows evil things in my life. I thought I had overcome at least a number of them. Yet they are back in my life. I need sanctification. I need holiness." And then the gospel preaches Christ. Christ. And that's the third treasure. Made of God unto us sanctification. That's the third treasure. God does not leave his people to produce their own holiness. No. Never. He makes Christ to be their sanctification. And the holiness of Christ is imputed to them. But also the holiness of Christ is imparted to them in principle in this life through the Holy Spirit renewing a person after the image of Christ and from out of Christ. You see, Jesus is a mediator who is a perfect mediator, a full mediator, also for sanctification. That's the third treasure. And then there is a fourth, and it's called in our text, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8, verse 30, redemption. Because what God does, he applies a full redemption that is in Christ to their body and to their soul. For time and for eternity, they are redeemed unto God by his blood, washed by his blood, the blood of the Lamb. And they are redeemed not by corruptible things from their worldly conversation, but by the precious blood of this mediator and deliverer. And they will stand one day, and God already sees them here as such, as redeemed saints on the shores of the sea of glass, ransomed from death, from hell, from the grave, redeemed unto God, Christ, their redemption. Now those of you who have had Christ revealed to you already, you know what the Catechism is speaking about here. You've tasted something of this, right? No, maybe you don't always live in this, do you? You need to be brought to this again and again. You need fresh revelations of these treasures, these four treasures. And above all, you need our Lord Jesus Christ, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. How precious it is when your search, in a sense, is over, and you embrace him, and God has made him all these things unto you. This mediator, Jesus, for whom God has made room in your soul, and whom your soul has learned to love and to need and to ask for. It is sad to say, but many in the church have never come to this house of treasure to take some of these treasures. There are many also in the church who stumble over this stumbling block, Christ crucified. He's an offense to many also in the church. But those people who stumble over him, they are without him. They are missing the only mediator. The only mediator. And they sit in church, but they are deaf to the voice of God, who says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There are some also here for whom Jehovah Chidkenu means nothing. You sit here and you know it. You know the words. That's all it is, words. A concept. Christ is pictured to you in the gospel, but you have never yet come to see your need of him. You hear it when the minister speaks those words, but it just passes by you. How sad. These things ought to change in your life, that you may see your need of this mediator, and that you see it. I am not saved at all. Would to God that you would be said seeking, and that he revealed this one and only mediator to you. And perhaps there are others in our midst who ask, but now how can I truly know that he is the true one? And that's our final thought this morning. He is found in four places. in four places. First of all, the catechism says, in paradise. And there he is found. Because it was in paradise that God spoke to Adam, and in Adam to you and me. And he spoke in after the fall into sin. He spoke of the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head through his own heel being crushed. Remember? The heel of the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman is this mediator. And what a marvelous thing that it is right after Adam fell into sin that God came seeking him, and he revealed Christ already to our sinful parents in the garden. And in revealing Christ to Adam and Eve, he revealed it also to us. Isn't that amazing? God didn't wait for 1,000 years or 2,000 years. And then he said something about it. But right there in the garden, before sending them out, he revealed something of his plan of this mediator. So take encouragement from how early God revealed this mediator in our sin. But then secondly, the catechism goes on to say that he published this mediator through the patriarchs, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, and the many prophets. And you know that. Among them was Elijah. And Elisha, prophet after prophet, told about Christ. Jacob announced him on his deathbed as the Shiloh who would come. The prophet Isaiah preached him as the Emmanuel. Isaiah 7 and 8, remember? God with us. And the prophet Micah preached him as the ruler whose goings forth have been from of old. And Jeremiah preached him as Jehovah Jidkenu. And Zechariah preached him as the great Zerubbabel, the greater Zerubbabel. And Malachi preached him as the messenger of the covenant. And Haggai preached him as the desire of all nations. And that's how you can read the Old Testament and the New Testament. Take encouragement from how frequently God revealed to them already, to us, the mediator. And then thirdly, he revealed this mediator in the sacrifices and ceremonies, in the offerings, in the washings, in the brazen serpent upon the pole, remember? In Aaron's rod that budded, in the manna come down from heaven, in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, all representations of this one and only mediator. Take courage from how visible God made already then the mediator. And finally, the catechism says, and that's fourthly then, he fulfilled all these things in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Take encouragement from how fully he showed these things in his Son, Jesus Christ. Already in his birth, already in his conception, by the Holy Spirit, his birth from the Virgin Mary, and then laid in a lowly stable. And when he was baptized by John the Baptist, heaven was opened. And God spoke those words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Or think of all the healings of Christ and all the miracles of Christ and the parables of Christ. And in his keeping company with publicans and sinners, and then going the road of suffering and being despised and the shame of the cross, right up to death. And then having yielded up the ghost, laid in the tomb, and on On the third day, his resurrection. On the 40th day, his ascension. How fully he was revealed it all, in it all. What more are you seeking for, my dear seeking friend? Look wherever you wish in the scriptures and see our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And say now to him, Lord, to whom else can I go but to thee? Thou dost fill these four requirements, these four standards. Thou dost open up these four treasures that my soul needs. And every place in the scripture points to thee and thee alone. And like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, may I look away from everyone else and see no one but Jesus alone. Holy Spirit, bring me to this one mediator in whom the Father is well pleased. Grant that I too may be well pleased in him and content as a little child lie at his feet and say it with the church of all the ages, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.